when we were dead in our sins and our no hopeness, Christ made us alive in Christ. Hi everyone, Pastor Rod here in Tokyo. We're doing a series on Colossians, and we come to chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. This is like the document of freedom from Jesus. Jesus gives us like a document. You know, when I came to Japan, I had a vision of Jesus giving me a document, just a vision. And with that document, it said, I give you authority to preach in the nation of Japan. And I received that document into my heart. And it's why I've always felt so strongly to share and preach in Japan, this beautiful nation, beautiful people, but without knowledge of Christ. And I've always had a real confidence to preach here and believe that Japanese would love Jesus, would receive Jesus. And so when we read this part of Colossians chapter 2, it's really like a document of freedom from Jesus, and it's for all of us. It's big, it's huge. And so we're going to read it. There's three verses here, and we're just going to see how we go today. It says Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." Nailing what? This whole thing of sin and the power of sin and the charge of sin and all that. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So we're going to deal with the next few weeks on this whole scripture. But the first verse, it's this concept of when we were dead in our sins and our no hopeness, Christ made us alive in Christ. And it reminds me of that scripture very much in Romans 5, where it says that God showed his great love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I just need to talk about this word sin for a bit, because it's really complicated things. The word sin does not mean purity or lack of purity. It means falling short of God's standard. It means every human being is encapsulated in that. And that's really important here in Japan, where people are such law-abiding, good people. And so it's not about them being criminals or doing bad things, but sin is not that. Sin is not like, how much did I do wrong? Sin is a condition of the soul where we fall short of God's standards. This word sin actually comes from the ancient Greek drama world, where they had tragedies, like the great hero in a story. And this great hero, and you're rooting for him, and yeah, go. And then he displays this terrible flaw, mistake, just something in his nature that's going to, you're going, oh no, it's not going to be like that, is it? And yes, it is. That's called a tragedy, where at the end of the story, things go wrong. That word flaw, fatal flaw, or falling short of a standard is the word sin. And so that means all of us have this concept of sin. It's not that I did so many sins. It's that I have this problem of a fatal flaw. I want to be a hero. You want to be a hero or a heroine. And so when it says we were still in that situation of falling short and the uncircumcision of our flesh, that's a very fancy Jewish way of basically saying that something needs to be cut out of our heart. In that situation, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us. Now, this is really in the concept of grace, because none of us deserve this work of Christ. No one really earns it or is good enough for it. And I've been a believer now for 46 years. I'm still not good enough for it. I never will be. I need Jesus Christ and his power in my life. I need it desperately. So when I was in that situation, now that for me it was I was 19, and I was a fireman at that time, and I'd been living a life of sin and a life of impurity, and a life of actually into the occult, into the devilish stuff, and you know, talking to spirits and weird. I was weird, but I was a fireman. It was a good job, and in that situation, I was dead in my sins and the uncircumcision of my flesh, and I found Jesus. It was just the most amazing thing to read the word, to talk about Jesus, and then I said, Jesus, now. That was my big prayer. I just said, now. But God knew what it meant. It meant now, no to the old and yes to you. And in that moment, I felt the darkness leave and I felt the love and the forgiveness come, and it's called grace. Now, some people don't have a big experience like that, but there's like a journey. But at some point that we cannot pinpoint, there was this experience that we were dead, and now that we're alive in Christ, we were unforgiven and then we're forgiven. What a great concept. And when we look at these verb forms, I know some of you are not into grammar, but it's the verb forms, almost all these verb forms are past tense. It means that it did happen. It did happen. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive. That's past tense. God made you alive. There was a point. It's not like we're becoming more alive. We're not becoming more righteous. We're not becoming more consecrated. We're not becoming more forgiven. We were made alive with Christ at a certain point. And some of us don't know when that was. My wife doesn't know when it was, but it was in a period of months where she was seeking God at 17 and found him. And he forgave us all his sins, past tense. So now I'm not getting forgiven. I have been forgiven. And this, although it sounds like rhetorical, just words, it's really important that we understand I am now in a state of forgiveness. When I take communion, I'm in a state of forgiveness. I say, thank you, Lord, for my forgiveness. I'm not getting forgiven. I'm not getting saved. I'm living in forgiveness. Even when I sin, which I don't want to do, a bad thought or whatever, I don't lose my forgiveness. I'm in a state of forgiveness. It's called grace. And although it sounds a bit risky, like, you know, why would God allow that? He just wants us to become sons and daughters that love him and obey him out of our own heart. But we were made alive with Christ. When I was dead, when I was 19, when I was dead in my sins, I was made alive with Christ. When I was 19, I was forgiven of all my sins. So this is a really important story here in Japan and Asia where the law is written on people's hearts so strongly. They have struggles with shame, and they have troubles with low self-confidence when it comes to God. And we've got to constantly saying, you know, God has made you alive if they're a believer. God has forgiven you. And we're seeing beautiful Japanese and Koreans and Chinese come alive, because there's this understanding, I could not do it myself. In fact, I was talking to a lovely seeker couple a couple of weeks ago, like Japanese who seeking God. And I said to them, do you have faith in Jesus yet? And they said, we're trying. And I said, that's really good. That's a really good Japanese answer. But the truth is, you can't try. You've just got to surrender and say, Lord, help me, forgive me, come into my life. And that is an incredible grace moment. So in this victory of Christ, we've got to believe the words, I have been made alive in Christ, I have been forgiven, and it goes on to say, the charges against me has been dropped, whatever is condemned me has been taken away, it has been nailed to the cross. And these are really important New Testament concepts to become sons and daughters of God, that I'm not doing anything to get to God, I'm not praying to get to God, I'm not giving to get to God. I'm in a state of forgiveness. I'm a son of God, or if you're a son or daughter of God, we are that, and actually we are now living from that moment of made alive, forgiven. We're now living in that with God, with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. We're living our life. We're praying from that place of strength. I'm not trying to get there. I don't have to try and stress and get to God. And am I good enough? And can he forgive me again? No, I'm working from the position of I have been made alive with Christ. I am forgiven. The charges against me have been dropped. I'm now called innocent or righteous by God. And it's all because of Jesus. So victory comes from knowing this word and confessing it and speaking it over our lives, that this is the truth. What about when I feel condemned? Well, you need to speak to that condemnation from this scripture. Read it and say, no, I have been made alive. I am forgiven in Jesus' name. And we need to hold that confession, and that will really help us to grow in confidence as sons and daughters of God. I love this. I got this as a very baby Christian, and I've grown and walked in it for all these 46 years. And now I'm saying to you, you are, if you're a believer, you're made alive in Christ, you are forgiven, the charges have been dropped, God has called you innocent or righteous is the Bible word, and it's all because of Jesus. So giving thanks to Jesus today. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that we would have an understanding. We are made alive. We are forgiven. The charges have been dropped. The word righteous is spoken of our life because of Jesus. And I pray people would get it in their hearts. They're sons and daughters of God. Blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll talk more about this next time.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.